Good morning.
As we continue to worship the Lord today, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 9 through 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 15. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that we, who whether we're awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone.
Hey, let me just give you some good news. I got a text from Pastor Aaron this morning saying that he tested negative for the COVID virus. And he's planning on getting another test today. So keep praying. Hopefully he will test negative on this one as well. I want to be personal here and say how much Corey and I and Wendy and Bill Heron appreciate your prayer. As Dick McIntyre said yesterday, the miraculous turnaround that Wendy has experienced is an indication of God's direct intervention. And we really believe that. 3 weeks ago, I'm getting as bad as Tim. 3 weeks ago, I really wondered if Wendy was going to survive. The Lord might take her to heaven. Let me also pick up a little advertisement, since Beth Wiegand and I work for the same organization, BCM International, and she referred to the new construction project that is going on out there, soon to begin, a wonderful facility that will serve the camp, Big Sky, but primarily it's being designed to serve the disabled population in the northwestern part of the United States. The cost for the whole project will be a little over $2 million. God has already provided $750,000, and I think now with that base, they can make some approaches to a couple of foundations. But I would really ask you to pray that God would provide this facility. I'm not sure if this is accurate today, but some years ago, Camp Promise was the only Christian camp in the whole northwestern part of the United States of America for disabled kids. When I say the whole northwestern part, I'm talking about Montana, Washington, Idaho, Oregon, perhaps Northern California, and some other places. It is vitally needed. The need, the expansion of the numbers are just beyond belief. If the facility is available. On Friday morning, I was sitting at my desk working on some emails, and Pastor Mark called me and said, Bob, we have a need. Would you be willing to preach on Sunday morning? And really, without much hesitation, I didn't even say, let me pray about it. I said, Mark, I'd be honored to preach. And after we hung up, a couple of messages went around in my head that had already been swirling there, because I'm already a backup on the calendar. If Jerry and Carol Moyer can't get here in June, the Sunday Jerry is supposed to preach, I was supposed to preach. So that would be on missions. And I've seen my name on the backup calendar back for August sometime. And then I think, again, that was going to be a missions thing. But I took time at my desk just to pray. Spent about 15 minutes saying, Lord, what do you want me to share? And the whole idea of missions went out of my head. And God led me to this passage of Scripture, which Corey read. I am going to particularly today emphasize one or two verses. The verse that I'm primarily going to emphasize is verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as also you are doing. Would you bow your heads with me as I pray? Father, thank you for the privilege that's ours to gather here as your family, as your church, called Grace Bible Fellowship. Thank you, Father, for those who are physically able to come, for those, Lord, who are online. And above all, I pray that we might sense your Holy Spirit's presence, that he would speak through these feeble lips, that he would open our minds, our eyes, our hearts to what you desire us to learn. Help us, Father, to be a continuing family of fellowship, yea, of love and encouragement. As Paul wrote of the people of Thessalonica, even though he said, encourage one another, he said, you are doing it. And I believe earnestly, honestly, that Grace Church is there. But Father, I think you want us to even do better. So help us today to grasp your truth. May your Holy Spirit be our guide and teacher, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who needs encouraging today? Seriously, how many of you need encouraging today? I thank God for honest people. I think if we were to be totally honest, all of us would say we love to get encouragement. Don't you love it when people come up to you and say a kind word or compliment you or tell you, hey, I'm praying for you? Sure we do. We all do. Everyone at some time in their lives will face discouragement. There are many Bible scholars who believe that the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, the one who perhaps had greater spiritual dimension in his life than any of us here in this room, and I'm not putting you down, but he's a spiritual giant. That in the book of 2 Corinthians, he refers to a rough time in his life, and many Bible scholars believe that he probably was suffering from depression. Everyone experienced some form of hardships, disappointments, struggles of various and sundry types. Psychologists are telling us that 25% of Americans are suffering today from depression. Another large percent of people are either upset, bored, or tired. Everyone is tired of COVID. We wish it would go away. Perhaps they're even praying that God would shut it down. Seriously, how many of you have prayed, Lord, shut this thing down? Yeah. Look, 95% of us. When we hear the increase in the number of people infected, we shudder. When the vaccine became available, most of us thought, well, this will certainly end this thing. I've been vaccinated twice, had a reaction both times. People are tired of wearing masks. If I said, take off your mask, you'd take them all. Everybody take them off. Yeah. I had a friend call me the other day. She had just flown from Israel to JFK Airport in New York on down to Houston. She said, Bob, I wore my mask for 30 straight hours. I am so tired of this thing. I said, Lindy, and just think, you'll be wearing it another 30 hours when you go home. She said, well, that's real encouraging. Major topic of conversation are the vaccines. We used to say, how's your weather? Now we say, have you been vaccinated? Many are suffering from overwhelming sorrow due to the loss of family members and friends during these past 16 months. Many because of the coronavirus, some because of other illnesses. The other night, I took time to run through my mind individuals here in the United States and in other countries of the world that I know personally that have passed away in the last 16 months. One more was added yesterday, Shirley Gambrew. But including Shirley, 22 of people, acquaintances, yea, my own sister, people that I know, 22, have passed away in the last 16 years, months. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, said, notice verse 11, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. And then in verse 14, he says, admonish the idle. This could be translated the undisciplined. Encourage the faint-hearted, those who are ready to give up. Help the weak and be patient. Oh, that is so important. Be patient with all of them. How many of you consider yourself to be a patient individual? Not too many hands on this one. You know, my patience goes so far. And then I kind of run out. Sad, but it's true. We all need to be encouraged, and we all love it when it happens. I want you to note that this phrase, be encouraged, is not a suggestion, but rather it is a command. The word encourage appears at least 105 times in the New Testament. The idea to encourage is to provide support or confidence to help people grow. One author says to encourage is to call someone aside so that you can teach them, comfort them, strengthen them, and push them to act in a certain way. Another author says, people who encourage others say with love what a person needs to hear. So I deduct from that that perhaps not all encouragement is positive. But sometimes we have to point out difficulties, struggles, faults, problems, in order that the positive might soon follow. I also find it interesting that as Paul's ministry began, that one of the first people to defend him was a man by the name of Barnabas. Who can tell us what the name Barnabas means? Encourager. Barnabas was looked upon as an encourager or son of encouragement. Barnabas also was Paul's partner on his first missionary journey. I can remember my first missionary journey. I was a student at Capital Bible Seminary, had been married for less than a year, and I had the opportunity of going to Latin America for 10 weeks. I look back on it, I think, probably wasn't the best thing to do. But I had never been at a distance like that. I flew to Peru. From there, I flew to Argentina. From there, I flew to Brazil. From Sao Paulo, Brazil, I flew into the interior of the state of Mato Grosso. I got there, and the person I thought was going to meet me wasn't there. And I didn't know a word of Portuguese, and I was Boy, I sure wish I'd had a Barnabas with me on that trip. The Apostle Paul's life was characterized by his desire to preach the gospel and to do all he could to encourage and build up those who were part of the body of Christ, those who were part of the family of God, those who we refer to as our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul wanted other believers to develop the same concern and to encourage their brothers and sisters, their co-workers, and others. As I said earlier, apparently the Thessalonian believers had caught the vision, and he commends them for it. They were indeed encouraging others. But I think what Paul was saying to them is, let's do more. Let's do more. I came across an illustration of a professor in New England. He was a professor at a small New England college, and he adopted what he thought was a wise plan. Whenever he learned that a student who was really trying but was discouraged about his work, he would give him a grade higher than what he deserved. At times, the professor would even tell other members of the class how well this student was doing. And the professor says, almost always, this student would perk up and earn the kind of mark that the professor gave them during the next marking period. He says, it's a sly secret, maybe not according to Hoyle, the rule, but it worked magic. Have you ever had a teacher like that? Ever had a professor like that who gave you a higher grade than you deserved? I think I had one. It was my second year of Greek in Bible college. And I was very concerned. Was I going to pass that course? Well, by God's grace, I did. And I've oftentimes thought that my good friend, Dr. Homer Heater, who now goes to Israel with me, leads our tours together, that he was showing me grace along the way. Psychologists say what we expect from people is usually what we will get. Expect or tolerate mediocrity, and that's what you'll probably get. But expect excellence, expect productivity, and you'll probably see it. How many parents sadly have said to one of their children, you're a dummy. Then they wonder why the child quit school. When we say to a child, you're a good athlete, you're a good student, you're a good musician, it's amazing the extra energy they put into that particular discipline and the achievements that follow. We as husbands might say to our wives, can't you just one time cook a meal without burning it? And that's what you'll get, one meal, not burned. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 says, let all things, not some things, not 50%, let all things be done for edification to build up the body. Weymouth, in his translation, says, let everything be done with a view to the building up of faith and character in a person. When was the last time you said something to encourage another person? I want you to think about that. Knowing you, probably you all did it this morning. When was the last time you said to one of your employees, hey, you did a good job? You said to somebody who was working with you, thank you so much for helping me. Men, we said to our wives, honey, thank you so much for doing our laundry. This morning, Corey said to me, honey, you really look nice. I said to her, it's because my wife irons my shirts. Thank you. I know it's sometimes hard to say to our children, boy, your room is really tidy. I can remember visiting two of our boys when they were students at Washington Bible College. I was speaking in chapel, and the dean said, hey, Bob, why don't you just come the night before and stay overnight since chapel is early. And he said, probably you can stay with your boys. I said, well, thanks, I will. I got to their room. I opened the door. I couldn't believe, even though I was their father, I thought, I don't want to stay in this mess. In fact, the next day I said to the dean of students, you know, when I was on staff here, we used to have dorm checks. Do you have that anymore? I don't think I got too upset with our boys because I was proud of what other things they were doing. When was the last time we said to a fellow believer, thank you so much for being such a blessing to me, to my family? Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no unwholesome words even pass your lips. In our Monday night Bible study, we've been looking at the book of James. And the last 2 weeks, maybe three, we've been talking about the tongue, the positive and the negative. And Jane gives us both. But it's interesting the devastation that our words can do to an individual. We can destroy a reputation very easily. We can destroy somebody's self-confidence. On the other hand, we can encourage and help and build them up and encourage people to do things that they thought, humanly speaking, they could never, ever do if we use the correct words. Let all your words be good for benefiting others so that they may be a means of blessing to the hearers. I can't tell you how many times I've said something and I sure wished there was an elastic band on that word that could retract that word back into my mouth. The moment that word gets across your lips, the positive will take place or the negative will be done. Sociologists say that it takes 10 nice things to make up for every bad thing we say about another person. I am not a sociologist. I've never studied much sociology. I think that is incorrect. You say, what? I think it could be 20, 25, or 50 words to undo the negative. One word. The average man speaks 25,000 words in a day. Men, you didn't know you were so talkative. Ladies, they say some speak 30,000 words. But whether it be 25, 30, maybe some people speak more, some people speak worse, less. How many words that we speak are encouraging? Henry Ford once said, the ability to encourage others is one of life's finest assets. I don't know anything about Henry Ford's spiritual life, spiritual background, but I found that quote very interesting. The ability to encourage others is one of life's finest assets. And he went on to illustrate an encounter that he had as a young man with Thomas Jefferson. Henry Ford was attending a meeting with a group of engineers. And the purpose of him being there was to sketch out on paper his idea of the gasoline engine. Most mechanical engineers or experts of that day thought that the electric carriage would be the passenger car of the future. It's very interesting. Here we are 100 years later, and what are we talking about? Electric cars. Most of the engineers were watching Ford explain his engine, and they said it would never work. But Thomas Edison became more and more interested. He was part of the audience. And after studying the idea carefully, he said, "Young man, that's the thing. You have it." Those words changed Ford's life, your life, my life, the world. So how can we encourage one another? What are some nice things we can say to people that will encourage them? What can we do for our friends and young people, children, for your classmates? What can we do for church leaders, for our spouses, for our children, for others? Yesterday, I Googled how to encourage others. Do that. One source had 52 ideas of how to encourage other people. I read them all. Interesting. Another source had 21. Another one had 19. Another one had 12. Another one had 9. I thought that I could come up with the Evan 7. You got it? You see, we had husband and wife, mom and dad, and 5 kids. Evan 7? Oh, well. Forget it. But I'm going to share with you, not 7, I'm going to share with you 5 things. 5 ways, and you might want to write these down. 5 ways to encourage others. Number 1, communicate your love and concern. And when I say communicate, help them really understand your love and your concern. And you can use whatever means is comfortable for you. And I know that in this COVID period, it's very difficult. You know, I'm wordy. I've become a hugger. I love to pat people on the back. And I realize that all of those things are somewhat difficult today. But maybe some of you are great on the phone. People still use phones. I call my kids, call my grandkids. I leave messages, they never call me back. I text them, immediate response. You can use an email. You can be like Margie Gizio and send notes and cards, handwritten. For my birthday last month, I got over 20 birthday cards. I was blown away. I think I read every one of those cards 2 or 3 times. Now, I got some emails, too. I read them once. There's something about a handwritten note that says, "I care." Number 2, pray for others. And I think it's beneficial if you are indeed praying for people, tell them you're praying for them. But don't tell them you're praying for them if you're not. But you know what's even better? Pray with them. And you can do that on the phone. You can do that WhatsApp. You can do that FaceTime. Galatians 6, verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ." And it's when you are praying with somebody that you oftentimes come to realize what they rarely care about what they're struggling with, what the real important things are in their lives. Number three, let me back up to number two, pray. After I got the call from Mark on Friday morning, it went out, I guess, to the elders and deacons that I was going to be preaching. I was driving on Friday afternoon, and my phone rang, and it was one of our deacons. He said, "Bob, I just read that you're going to be preaching. I'm calling to tell you that I want to pray for you right now." I said, "It'd be wonderful." I said, "I'll keep my eyes open since I'm driving." What an encouragement. And from others, elders, deacons, I received text notes saying, "I want you to know, praying for you, looking forward to what God's going to say through you." Number three, read and study the Bible together. I've been meeting with a young man now for almost 3 years. We try to meet almost every other week. We meet together, sometimes here at church, sometimes at our home, my home. We did a lot of them on virtual and so forth. And it's been amazing what we have learned together and how we have tossed ideas back and forth to try to come to understand fully what is God saying and how does God want us to respond. You can study the word in your home. Let me encourage you, if you're not part of one of our grace groups, get involved. Get involved. Number four, speak words that encourage and help. And as I've already said, use positive words. Say nice things. Number five, take time to help others and do it cheerfully. Yesterday, Corey was talking to one of our deacons and asked him a question and so forth. "Hey, you have a need? I'll come do it." She said, "No, I don't need you to do it." You know, there's a lot of encouragement taking place right here within Grace Church. And I'm not preaching this message because I think that we don't care or I think that we're not. No. No, I think it's like the Apostle Paul said to the people of Thessalonica, "I know you're doing it, but I know we can even do more and we can do better." One final thought. Choose one person to focus on. Now, you can encourage a lot of people, I understand. But maybe there's somebody in particular you know that really needs encouragement. Ask God, who's the person you want me to connect with to encourage? Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Father, help us to obey your command to encourage one another until we see you face to face, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.